Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. We're coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, deep in the woods of Elbert County, Colorado. Dave Buhner also in studio with me. Just a couple of homeschooling dads putting things together during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, where the Christian world and life view had some kind of an influence on the average person in the 1600s and 1700s, where there was some modicum of the fear of God in people's lives. Back in the 1700s, there is very precious little fear of God before their eyes in the present day. Sense that from the fact that popular music has moved from Bach down to Eminem's rape rap. And the most popular music today is some of the most godless music and some of the most vile music you could have probably ever come up with, even if you were in your most vile mood. Well, friends, things are changing rapidly, and we're chronicling it out here in my basement in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And it's important to realize that the Church of Jesus Christ will continue, that Jesus Christ's kingdom does continue and has for 2,000 years and has the best record of any kingdom for 2,000 years. Hey, Islam's only lasted 1,600 years, but the kingdom of Christ has spread through the Roman Empire, through Northern Africa, up into Europe, and then across to the Americas and into Asia and Africa over the last 2,000 years and continues to really flourish. However, Western civilization is not doing well. Western civilization is on life support. And America is the last of the great empires, of the last 4 to 5 empires in the Holy Roman Empire that was not so holy, not so Roman, not much of an empire, all the way into Spain and Spain's weak attempt at establishing their empire and persecuting as many people as they possibly could in places like France and the Netherlands and elsewhere. And of course, that didn't last all that long. And then eventually we had the French Empire that did not last very long. The English Empire did pretty well for about 300 years. And then the sun never set on the English Empire until the sun set on the English Empire, which was about 100 years ago. And then America was there to sort of prop up the English Empire. But now America is about $60 trillion in debt, counting unfunded liabilities, including, of course, personal debt, household debt, corporate debt, state debt, federal debt, et cetera, et cetera. You're looking at some $60-70 trillion. Dave, have you seen that graph that came out recently comparing America's debt to Obama's salvation plan?
I did. And it's hard to talk about graphs on the air, but Kevin, if Obama gets everything he wants,
meaning if he taxes the living daylights out of us and imposes huge taxes upon the rich, then what you have is a little tiny influence. I mean, you're looking at $60 trillion versus, you know, like half a trillion or something. Like almost nothing compared to what it would take to turn this nation around.
But and because this is radio, Kevin, we need to give him a picture.
Okay, so go ahead.
So picture your house.
Okay.
You got a 2,000-square-foot house.
Okay.
Now, in your house, you have a closet, a broom closet.
Okay.
Now, that's not the solution. Inside the broom closet, you have a old shoebox.
Yeah.
Inside that shoebox, you've got a pill bottle. And not the pill bottle you got at Sam's Club. Not the kind that holds 500, but the kind you got when you had a little headache.
27
and
pills, right.
You had to stop at Walgreens and get them.
Yeah.
Okay. Obama's, if he gets everything, he'll fill that pill bottle like halfway full. But the problem is the size of the whole house and yard.
Okay. That's about how effective the present system's going to be. And Dave, what's amazing to me is how negative people are becoming concerning government. And, you know, the 70s and 80s, you had some people who are a little negative as to the future of the nation. They just didn't think that America was salvageable, and they were telling everybody to buy gold. Remember Don McIlvaney back in the 70s and 80s and probably early 90s? Don McIlvaney was concerned about the future of this country. And just about every single one of his MIAs, he was referring to the economic straits and the fact that America was in deep, deep, deep trouble and on and on and on. Dave, it was like this was 0.01% of the population that was concerned about the future of America, the economic future of America, and included me, by the way. I just didn't think America was going to pull out, even in the 1980s and 1990s. But now you have guys like Rush Limbaugh, who are pretty negative. I mean, you have to admit, a lot of the mainstream radio and television guys, Fox News or the Rush Limbaugh people, who have a huge following, are pretty negative. Man, I haven't heard things this negative in a long time.
Well, I think they're coming to grips with what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes. You know, what has been done cannot be undone. It is very difficult once you've left the gold standard. We did in the 70s. And you've been off of it for a while, and you're into fiat money. It's very difficult to go from fiat to gold. It was easy to go from gold to fiat, but But going the other direction is very hard. So when you have a fiat currency, fiat currencies do what fiat currencies always do. They become worthless. You know, people had plenty of money, but there's nothing that money could buy. And we're rapidly approaching that day.
Dave, and of course, the big problem is the failure of optimism in the nation. And you know the president is trying to do as much as he can to keep the nation as optimistic as possible. Say, you know, we got this bright future and all we need is my form of change. And that's going to bring about, you know, a new utopia in the United States of America by the year 2025. But deep down, we're thinking the pillbox probably is not going to pull it off.
No, it's not. You know, once you've broken a leg, it's broken. And once you've fornicated, you're no longer a virgin. You can't become a virgin again. And you see, the problem with America, and I think people are waking up to this, is we've reached the point at which we're no longer virgins. We've got a majority of people who have been publicly school educated now for 3 and 4 generations. Mm-hmm. That is, they're raised in socialism. We've got a majority of the people, actually a majority of the people now, receiving some kind of government subsidy. That is, the government's buying votes.
Yeah.
The government's buying votes from them, and they're not willing to walk away from their subsidy.
And generally speaking, Dave, do people vote for a decrease in their annual pay?
No.
And people just don't do that. I mean, I don't run into people who say, you know, I think I'm making too much money. I think I'm getting too much on a monthly basis from the government or somewhere else. I just think I'm too much money, and I really want less money, so I'm going to vote to decrease my pay allotment from the federal government of the United States for the next 4 elections. How many of those 52% or 60% of Americans who get their paycheck or get their welfare check from the government are going to do that in a given election, say?
Well, let's look at a microcosm of the labor force, which are unions. And how often does a union, even when it's in their best interest, vote themselves a pay decrease? Well, let's say you work for Hostess.
Yeah, where you wanted to, say, salvage the company.
Your job.
Yeah.
You want to keep your job. Would you vote for a pay decrease or a benefit decrease?
I don't think they do.
No, they never do. Mm-hmm. They never do. They play chicken with their own jobs.
What happens to the corporations where they vote to destroy the corporation will happen to the country.
Right. And we saw this with the United Auto Workers. Now, the United Auto Workers have bankrupted all of the big three.
Yeah.
And the reason that we still have General Motors is simply because you, the taxpayer, have funded the union. It's a transfer of wealth from the taxpayer to the union. So the union can stay in business because, after all, you know, they're too big to fail. But fiscally speaking, in a closed system, they're bankrupt. They're kaput. They're gone.
Dave, I was talking about this issue of debt with the Shepherd Center guys in our basement this morning. And we're talking about the $50-60 trillion of debt, you know, the personal debt, the corporate debt, the federal debt, et cetera, et cetera. We added it all up. We have $50-60 trillion. And I said, you know, one way you could fix that, one way you could fix that is by not entertaining yourself at all for the next 10 years and working 70 to 80 hour a week for the next 10 years, not entertaining yourself and not going into any more debt for the next 10 years. And if people had that kind of character, if everybody in America, all 300 million people in America, decided, we're not going to entertain ourselves, we're going to waste money in Vegas, we're not going to waste money in entertainment dollars, we're just going to be productive for a full 80 hours a week. We'll take one day off, but we'll work the full 80 hour weeks for the next 10 years. We could probably pay off the $50-60 trillion in debt. Then I asked them this question. Do you think that anybody in America, or a substantial number of people in America, would be willing to do that? Or do you think they'd be much more willing to entertain themselves to death while trying to get as much welfare dollars into their pockets as possible for the next 10 years? And Dave, you know, the character of the nation is face down in the water, Dave. I mean, you know, the average kid is playing his video games, his computer games, while Rome burns. He doesn't care anymore. The character is shot in this country. And Dave, we just don't have what it takes to salvage this nation. I think even Rush Limbaugh recognizes this. And again, friends, you know that it's over. You know that it's over when mainstream guys are pretty negative on the future of a nation. That's not the way it was in the 1970s and 1980s. That was not the way it was with Ronald Reagan, his election, with George H.W. Bush and Bill Clinton. That wasn't the way it was. People weren't thinking it's over. Well, they're thinking that now. Pessimism, the breaking of the spirit, is ultimately what it will take to break a nation down. And that's what's happening even as we speak. Be back in just a moment with more on this nation and Uganda. Hey, I mean, so America's going downhill. Friends, other things happening in other countries. Hopefully we're not so myopic we can't look around and find out that there are actually some good things happening around the world. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson.
always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, this is Kevin Swanson. The question is, does America have what it takes? Does America have the will, the character? Does America have the faith? Does America have the optimism, the hope necessary to salvage the nation or the empire in the years to come? Things are looking more and more negative, friends. And that doesn't mean that things are over for the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean that things are over for other nations around the world. Hey, I mean, things are going on elsewhere around the world that are very, very interesting. I mean, here's Uganda's president publicly repenting for the nation's sins. I had this sent to me by, I think, six or seven different people. The news stories were all over the internet on this one, because here we have a president. I mean, a president of a company, Yoweri Museveni. And he boldly repented of his nation's sins last month. Western news media have increasingly denounced Uganda's stance opposing gay rights, as you know. I mean, they've come out with some laws discouraging homosexual activity in the nation of Uganda. And that's got everybody up in arms. They're very upset about this sort of thing. But the president took the opportunity for celebrating Uganda's 50th anniversary of independence from Britain at a National Jubilee prayer event last month. During the celebration, he did something very unusual for a national leader. He publicly repented of his personal sins and the sins of the nation. Museveni began his prayer with thanks, then declared his intention to make a firm break with the past. Father God, he said, Father God in heaven, today we stand here as Ugandans to thank you for Uganda. We are proud that we are Ugandans and Africans. We thank you for all your goodness to us. I stand here today to close the evil past, and especially in the last 50 years of our national leadership history, and at the threshold of a new dispensation in the life of this nation. I stand here on my own behalf and on the behalf of my predecessors to repent. We ask for your forgiveness. We confess these sins, which have greatly hampered our national cohesion and delayed our political, social, and economic transformation. Next, President Museveni got specific in his acknowledgement of sinful activity. We confess sins of idolatry and witchcraft, which are rampant in our land. We confess our sins of shedding innocent blood, sins of political hypocrisy, dishonesty, intrigue, and betrayal. Dave, this is amazing. I mean, this is a president of a nation in the 21st century that actually believes that God exists, actually believe that God gets upset with nations when they break his laws, and he's willing to proclaim a day of repentance. He's willing to stand up publicly and repent of these sins publicly. This sounds so much like the founders of this nation, like John Adams, who would say that we would perhaps overcome the war against England at that time if we fear God and repent of our sins. I mean, it's precisely the words that John Adams said to Benjamin Rush there at the Continental Congress meeting. And if that was the case at the founding of the nation, Dave, of course, it's not really the case today. Imagine our president today saying something like that. Here's the irony. The irony is here, Dave, which is wild. The ironies are wild. Here we have a Kenyan president here in America who won't do this kind of thing in our secular ex-Christian nation, while this Ugandan president does this in a pagan nation that is trying to work its way out of paganism, while we are working our way back into paganism. The ironies are rich here. This is unbelievable.
Well, you have a nation that's trying to repent of things like shedding innocent blood.
Yeah.
We have a nation that wants to fund the shedding of innocent blood. See,
yeah,
the difference?
Yeah, there's a difference there, isn't there? And we have a Kenyan president doing this in our country. He's a Ugandan president doing it in Uganda. Just, I mean, the ironies are just unreal. And Dave, I think the difference, of course, is worldview. The difference is trajectory. You have different trajectories, radically different trajectories working. You know, granted, okay, you know, I'm sure we have missionary friends in Uganda. I'm sure they would say, you know, Uganda's pretty messed up. The political situation is pretty messed up. And yeah, there's a lot of problems in Uganda. And there's the Muslim influence. There's There's just dishonesty and graft and the sorts of things that this guy was trying to repent of. And, you know, you got all this stuff. And, you know, I think America's actually wealthier. America's got more of a Christian heritage. America's got more of this and this and this. But the trajectory, Dave, is radically different. Our trajectory is going right down back into paganism. You know, our people are heading back into cannibalism, vampirism, tattooing and body mutilation and every form of fornication, homosexuality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're trying to get out of it.
Yeah,
that's a difference.
They're trying to go for some kind of unity under some sort of banner of truth. And we're going for tribalism under multiple banners. Pick your own truth. They're trying to talk about repentance. We're actually trying to say there's nothing wrong with you. In fact, the Southern Poverty Law Center, I didn't share this with you before we went on air. Southern Poverty Law Center is representing some people who went to some therapists who tried to deal with their issues of same-sex desires. And they're saying, you're treating them like there's something wrong with them. Can't you just let them be and, you know, in their sin and so forth? And you go into they're trying to repent. In America, we're trying to protect people from having to repent.
Huge difference. Huge difference. You've got a rising Christian influence in that country. And Dave, I think God's got a sense of humor here. I mean, he's turning some nations on their ears. The blessings are turning away from this country, and the blessings are turning towards this country in Uganda, and may, over the years, now who knows what's going to happen? We don't know the future, but Dave, 100 years down the line, America could wind up being one of the most impoverished nations in the world, and one of the most messed up nations in the world, with lots and lots of revolutions going on, lots and lots of chaos in the streets, lots and lots of bloodshed everywhere. And meantime, you could have a nation like Uganda or Zambia or South Sudan who are proclaiming themselves to be Christian nations right now in Africa. And this is really a first. I mean, Dave, think about this. This was not happening in 1870 in Africa. I mean, okay, it was happening in America in 1870. Well, now the tables are turning. In Africa, we're starting to see the Christian influence happening. Now, in 1870 in Uganda and Zambia and elsewhere, Dave, I mean, these were people who were just pagans. They didn't have suits on. They're running around naked eating each other.
And they had much to repent of, but what they have repented of is realizing that there is a God who is in the heavens, a God, and he rules over heaven and earth. Now, we've lost that worldview. We've lost that fundamental thought that there is a God. And because he is God, he is the ruler.
You think this guy really believes there's a God, this Ugandan president? Do you think he believes there's a God? Do you think he actually is kind of fearing this God, that if this God doesn't bless his country could be a total mess?
I hope so.
I get the feeling he does.
I get the feeling there's
some fear of God there. He actually believes that God exists, which is more than you can say for a huge percentage.
Well, let's be cynical
Americans.
For a moment. And let's say that he's only doing it for political expediency. Okay. That means there's a significant number of people in Uganda who believe that there is a God, because otherwise it would be politically inexpedient to have such a prayer.
Well, he certainly would not enjoy the respect and the appreciation of the United Nations. Or the United States, or Hillary Clinton, or the others. I mean, Uganda is pretty much at the bottom of the barrel in the estimation of the average socialist, humanist, atheist person in Washington today.
Well,
wouldn't you say? I mean, Uganda is pretty, I mean, you know, if North Korea is up here somewhere, Uganda is way down here, because they're talking about bringing biblical law to bear in the area of homosexuality. And that's like, apparently somebody made the mistake of opening up the Bible in Uganda and found something about, you know, a civil penalty towards homosexuality. You know, big mistake. Oh, big mistake. And now, you know, you got everybody up in arms in the United States, especially those who attend, you know, evangelical churches.
There's another irony for you.
Yeah. The ironies are everywhere, friends. We are up to our elbows in ironies today.
You know what will happen is that the evangelical churches will say we need to be more careful about the missionaries we send, because some of them are telling people to read the Bible.
Yeah, I know.
And then they're going to legislate.
Surely they didn't translate Leviticus into, you know, Uganda. Here's another interesting. As ironies all over the place on this edition of Generations. I mean, this is from Pravda. Did you remember Pravda?
Yeah.
Back in the 1970s and 80s. Remember? I don't know if you got it, if you picked up on the Pravda news service, but Pravda was what?
It was the Russian or the Soviet Union's news service.
It was the propaganda source. It was the propaganda source for the Soviet Union. Yeah. Well, Pravda is commenting on the November elections, our re-election of Barack Obama as president. Okay. All right. You ready for this? This is the article. You ready?
I'm ready.
This is Pravda. This is the Soviet news agency Pravda. Okay. Most popular Russian newspaper in the country. Okay, here's a recent article from Pravda. Okay, you ready?
Hit me.
Good. Putin in 2009 outlined his strategy for economic success. Alas, poor Obama did the opposite, but nevertheless was reelected. Bye-bye, Miss American Pie. The communists have won in America with Obama, but failed miserably in Russia with a guy named Zayugadnov, who only received 17% of the vote. So evidently the communists got 17% of the vote out there. I don't know who the guy is. Anyway, Vladimir Putin was reelected as president, keeping the NWO order out of Russia while America continues to repeat the Soviet mistake. After Obama was elected in his first term as president, then the then prime minister of Russia, Vladimir Putin, gave a speech at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland in January 2009, ignored by the West as usual. Putin gave insightful and helpful advice to help the world economy and saying the world should avoid the Soviet mistake. Recently, Obama has been reelected for a second term by an illiterate society, and he is ready to continue his lies of less taxes while he raises them. He gives speeches of peace and love in the world while he promotes wars as he did in Egypt, Libya, and Syria. He plans his next war in Iran as he fires or demotes his generals who get in the way. Obama, because they call him Obama. I guess that's the...
It's Obama, isn't it?
Whatever. Obama even keeps the war going along the Mexican border with projects like Fast and Furious. There's still no sign of ending it. He's a communist, without question, promoting the Communist Manifesto without calling it so. How shrewd he is in America, his cult of personality mesmerizes those who cannot go beyond their ignorance. They will continue to follow him like those fools who still praise Lenin and Stalin in Russia. Obama's fools and Stalin's fools share the same drink of illusion. Okay, now, you know, not exactly written in American English. Okay, you could kind of tell this kind of the Russian, you know, way of communicating. But they Pravda. I mean, Pravda. This is the Soviet news agency saying basically, and this is, I guess, what Russians are reading. Shame on America for endorsing and voting for and electing a communist who has in the past said really, really positive things about the redistribution of wealth. This has been a really big part of his agenda. I mean, a big part of his agenda. I mean, he has been committed to the communist agenda for a long, long, long time. And now you got Pravda in the old communist Soviet Union saying, now, wait a minute. Why are you guys moving towards communism? I guess one of the things they don't realize is that we were funding a lot of the communist agendas around the world. You know, it's something people tend to forget. And the United Nations hasn't really been discouraging communism anywhere around the world, as far as I know. But anyway, Dave, just some interesting, interesting things happening. And here's the application. Here's the application. Folks, you ready? The application is this. Crazy things happening. You thought America was pretty much it. You thought that somehow America would be the land of the free and the home of the brave forever and ever. And America was going to be where God was going to pour out his blessings for the rest of time. You know what? As sure as there's a God in the heavens, and as sure as America has turned away from God and has increased the shedding of innocent blood since 1960 and increased homosexuality since 1990 by orders of magnitude, and as sure as America has abandoned God in its public schools, abandoned God's law everywhere, 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 as sure as America has turned away from God, and as sure as God exists in the heavens, God can bless other nations. And he can turn the tables on this nation and move to other nations. And he's doing that, and he has done that, and he will do that for years to come. God is sovereign, Dave, over all these things, and yet he's also active, and I think this is important. It is true that, yeah, you know, Christianity did bless the Anglo-Saxons, but I'm sorry, but Christianity is not going to be as waspy over the next couple hundred years as it has been for the last several hundred years. And I say praise be to God for that. I mean, hey, isn't it supposed to be every single culture, tribe, tongue, and nation, Dave? I mean, isn't that what you read in Revelation chapter 5? It's supposed to be all of them, right?
Yeah, all nations.
So isn't it about time that maybe a little Uganda and Zambia and China and New Guinea maybe begin to disciple their nations and move their nations more and more towards a God-fearing approach and a nation that observes whatsoever Christ has commanded in his word, including those commands that apply to the civil magistrate.
You know, Kevin, God is a three-dimensional, actually four-dimensional God. He's not.
That kind of goes on and on and on and on.
Right.
You know, into eternity on either side.
The problem is we like to think of him in a one-dimensional sense. We want to think of him as a big Santa Claus in the sky who just blesses the nation. He'll just pour out his blessings on America because that's who he is. He's the big Santa Claus who brings blessings. But when we stop appreciating God for his things like, oh, holiness and justice, God has to reestablish in our minds that he is a holy God and a just God, and he brings justice to the fore. Now, he will bring blessings and grace to those who appreciate
his justice and his holiness. But if you don't appreciate his holiness and his justice, well, according to his own glory, he's going to glorify himself by displaying to the nations and to this nation that he is a just God. And a just God will take out wrath on those who kill the innocents, for instance, who those who make a mockery of sexuality, of those who worship foreign gods. He's got to do that. It's part of who he is.
Well, my friends, one of the reasons we like to see our program downloaded in 100 nations around the world is because we believe that this vision for a biblical approach to nation building, a biblical approach to applying God's law to every single area of life, must be applied in every nation around the world. Moreover, we believe that when some nations are going down, other nations will be improving. So other nations will be setting good trajectories. And we'd like to be a part of that. And we'd also like there to be a free nation, a nation that is founded upon the principles of God's word, the book of Proverbs, of course, and hopefully it will be the place where the second Mayflower will reside in the years to come. So hopefully there will be nations, great nations, blessed nations on the face of the earth, as sure as there is a God in the heavens who blesses nations and has from time to time in places here and there throughout history. We believe that kind of thing can happen, and it can happen again, and we're so excited about the possibilities of where it's going to happen next. It doesn't have to happen in a WASPy nation like North America or out in Europe. These nations are going downhill fast, but there's other things happening elsewhere, and it is amazing what is happening worldwide right now, thanks to the influence of Jesus Christ, who has risen from the dead and who is on the right hand of the Father. I mean, friends, this is amazing. Dave, one of the most important things to think about the Ugandan president is he does recognize the kingship of Jesus Christ. He recognizes the lordship of Christ. Granted, these people are primitive in their faith, and granted, there are problems still, but at least there's some recognition of the
Kevin,
King of Kings.
I will take a primitive who fears God and worships him as the God on the throne over the most highly educated, academic, sophisticated professor who does not fear God. I'll do it any day of the week.
Well, friends, where do we go from here? Where do we go with this nation? Where do we go with your family, with my family? Well, we're here. We're in America. Yeah, okay, the systems are going downhill and people are a little down in the mouth about it. But friends, build what you have with the nation around you. That is your family. Teach them the word of God. Teach them, disciple your nation in your home, whatsoever Jesus has commanded. This is the Great Commission. Do it in your home. And I encourage you to do it with our family Bible study guides. We have one on Genesis. We got a new one coming out from Genesis in just about 2 days from now. So be sure to take a look at our Genesis study guide, but also the book of Proverbs, the book of Matthew, the book of Psalms. And oh, by the way, these books are available at a $10 discount. We're starting a coupon here for the next month or so as Christmas is coming along. And so you get a $10 discount if you go to our website, generationswithvision.com. I think you've got to do a $30 minimum or something like that. But there is a $10 discount right now available at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.